Want you to join me. I have a little story to share as we start. Jesus said, "Go tell the world, so I've got a job to do." Jesus loves the world. The Bible tells us so. And now he's back in heaven and he tells us, "Go. People need a savior. Tell them God loves you. So I've got a job to do. If I walk to school or I ride a bus, I can tell my friends Jesus died for us. If the driver asks, I can tell her too, I've got a job to do. Will my life show Christ in the way I love? Will I help the world like my God above? At a party, park, or barbecue, I've got a job to do. I will move in faith when I have a hunch. Ask a lonely kid if I will share my lunch. I can bless our food, maybe bless us too, because I've got a job to do. I could ask my friend, come to church with me. I can even ask her whole family, because we need each other, and you know that's true. I've got a job to do. When I'm at the beach with a friend of mine and we stand in awe of the bright sunshine, I'll say, thank you, God, for this awesome view. I've got a job to do. I have friends and family that I love a lot, and though some know Jesus, maybe some do not, I want all of them up in heaven too, so I've got a job to do. When I'm all grown up, I could be a clown or an airplane pilot flying upside down. I might tend the ponies in the petting zoo, but I'll still have a job to do. From the highest mountain to the valleys low, far beyond the sea, everywhere I go, from the tip of Iceland out to Timbuktu, I've got a job to do. What if no one listens? What if no one cares? Then I'll talk to Jesus in my daily prayers, and I'll trust in him for the follow through, because I've got a job to do. It's the great message, he's the living word. It's the best good news that you ever heard. I could never hide it if I wanted to. I've got a job to do. Now, it doesn't matter if I'm kind of small, for the Great Commission goes to one and all. When I go with Jesus, he will see me through. I've got a job to do. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Doesn't that capture it for you? I've got a job to do. That God has given us a job, that he has called us to be his witnesses. We've been working through the different values of our church, and today I want to share what that job is. That we have a circle of accountability, that we have people that have been placed around us, unbelievers, that God wants them to know him. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That he calls the church, not the building, but the people, his people, to share in his mission, that he has created the world. He loves the world. He wants to bring them back into a relationship with him. 1 Timothy 2 says that he wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth of him. That circle of accountability, it doesn't mean, you know, we should be good Christians and have a circle around us and be accountable to one another. It's being accountable, being an influence, being God's light to those unbelievers around us. And the crazy thing is that God uses the church, his people, that 2 Corinthians 5 says he's making his appeal through us, that we should no longer live for ourselves, that we should live for him, that we are his mouthpieces, that we are his ambassadors, that we are his witness. So you've heard that we're supposed to be fishers of men and women, right? Have you heard that we're supposed to be farmers for Jesus? If you have your Bibles, turn into Mark 4, and we'll see what that means. Farmers of Jesus. So we'll look at Mark 4, and it's 3 through 9. And then we'll catch verse 14 on to 20 as well. Mark 4 says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell along the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell on the good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. He who has ears, let him hear," Jesus said. And then skip down to verse 14, the meaning of what this passage, this parable means. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on the good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Looking at this passage, the 100 times before, I always thought, wow, that's challenging, that you're not supposed to, look at wealth. You're not trying to be wealthy, or there are going to be worries. Is that me? Am I in the good soil? Am I producing the crop? But what challenged me today that I want to share with you today is that first verse. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Who is that farmer? That's me. That's you. We are the farmer. We are to sow that seed. And what is that seed? Jumping down in 14, the farmer sows the word. That word right there, that's the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that the farmer sows Jesus. How do we sow Jesus into our daily lives? Do we sow him in our presence? Do we sow him in our conversation? Do we sow that word? Do we sow Jesus in proclaiming him to others? We've been walking alongside, and my circle fits perfectly with this value that we have a circle of accountability, that we have a grace story, and that we are called to share with each other. So when we look at those seeds, I want to show you three different seeds. And the first one is seeds of presence. How can we be a presence of Jesus to others? That Jesus came into this world. We think of that at Christmas time, that the Word became flesh, that he was born in a manger. But also the Word became flesh because the Word lives in our hearts. We are that flesh. We are that hands and feet that go out. How can we be that Jesus presence to others? How can we share that good news? Well, one way is, how can we be a tangible blessing? It's a great time, this Christmas time. Black Friday is gone. The darkness is gone. Now we have seen a great light. Okay? That people are open to to hearing about Jesus. They love Christmas music. And have you ever heard of some of the message that's in Christmas music? That there is some sense of joy. It might not be the full joy that we know in Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit, but there is something about it that people are more open. Can we take advantage of that? Can we be a tangible blessing to people? A couple years back, and we'll be doing it again this year, we just made Christmas cookies and we passed it to our neighbors. It was crazy that people said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And oh, we better get you something back in return," or something like that. How can you be a tangible blessing? We see this even in the lives of Jesus. I'm not a healer like Jesus is, but Jesus healed people. Why did he heal people? He saw a need. He met it. He saw that these people were helpless, that they had struggles, that they didn't know him. And he used these healings as tangible blessings to reach out to others. Now, you might not be able to go like Peter and say, "I don't have silver or gold, but stand up." And maybe you do. Maybe you do have that gift. Maybe God will use you in that way. But there are other ways. How can you be that tangible blessing? How do you see somebody? Do you see a neighbor that needs some help? Do you see a need? Or even when you go to the store, do you see an item that you're like, "You know, my friend really likes those Oreos, and I better give that and bless her in Jesus' name because she really loves Oreos." It's simple things like that, but how can we be a blessing? I remember I'd have a contest with our neighbor. It's about shoveling time, so we'd get out our shovels. Who would get out there first? Because I wanted to be that blessing. I wanted to use that, and he always was battling for me. But will we take that fight? Will we be a blessing? And even invite them in. Invite them to a holiday meal. Maybe you know somebody who doesn't have family around. Invite them in. Share the love of Jesus with them. So would we plant those seeds of presence? Sometimes I think of this passage that the farmer sows the word. You think, well, the word, that's just proclaiming the gospel, that I'm going to sit down and I'm going to lay out the steps. You are a sinner. Christ died for you. And he wants you to be in relationship with him. He wants you to be his witness. Don't limit the word to just that. That the word is flesh and it's making the dwelling among us. That we can have that presence. Even our presence can bring Jesus in the midst of that relationship. The second one is seeds of conversation. Can we have Jesus conversations in the midst of our relationships, within our conversations with others? Just that chance that when an opening comes, that you can ask that pertinent question, that you can take a conversation and say, "You know what? That is maybe even a hardship in this world, but I know that there's hope." We think of how much darkness we see in the news. Is there any hope for this world? Well, yes. We know Jesus. Let me tell you about the hope that we have. It's amazing, just those little opportunities. I had a chance with a worker. He's actually a technician that came to work on the printer that I use for work. His name's Mike. He loves to hunt. He takes care of plenty of deer. I don't even know how many he's killed so far this year. I think he's up to 5 or something like that. I don't know. He must have the honey hole of all hunting places. But he said that he gives the deer away, that there's a soup kitchen, there's a church that feeds the homeless. And he said, "I want to do something good. I wanted to do that." I said, "Well, that's great. You know, why do you want to do that? What does that do for you?" I just used the normal conversation. I said, "So why? What causes you to do that?" And it led into a conversation about, you know, even he said, "Yeah, I believe that Jesus. I gave my life as a kid," And we got into a conversation of that, of I could share, it's not about just that transaction, but are you living in that relationship with Jesus? I could share what the true gospel is, that we don't just do good things because if we do good things, we get to heaven. But that just was an opportunity to take a normal conversation and plant some Jesus seeds in there. Or you think of even in the early times of the church with Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip's running, and there's this Ethiopian reading the prophets, and he's talking about something, and he doesn't understand anything. Philip says, hey, can I explain what's going on here? Or even that we would know the times and the seasons of what's going on in the world. Can I tell you about the hope that prophecy is coming true, that it was fulfilled in Jesus, that Philip was able to weave that gospel conversation with him? So the seeds of conversation, that we can seed conversations with the word of Jesus. And we can proclaim that we, once we get a chance, that we have opened the door with that conversation, that we can proclaim the word of God, that salvation message. I think of the time we've been looking at Acts, whether it was a sermon series or when we're working through Biblica, the reading the New Testament in the 8 weeks, if you're plugging along there. If you think back of Acts, what hit me, Paul is making a defense. He's going to go to Rome, and King Agrippa wants to hear his message. And so he's telling about what he's been doing, and he starts weaving in the gospel. And King Agrippa says, what, are you trying to make me a Christian all of a sudden too, just in this one conversation? And Paul said, well, yeah, I would love that. I would love that for you to be a Christian. But that idea of we can weave those seeds of sharing the love of Jesus with others. Let's look at that idea of seeds and farmer, that we are God's farmer. What do farmers do? They farm, you know. Sowers sow seeds. Workers work. You know, if we are farmers, are we tending to that farm? A farmer's seed is different than the plants and the things around. I think of on US 30, going back to my homeland in Pennsylvania, you get to see a lot of farmland going across 30. And you see patches of woods, and then you see lots of fields of corn. That corn isn't just what naturally comes, you know? A farmer doesn't say, hey, you know, those oak trees look really good, and that grass looks really good. I'm just gonna roll with this. I'm just gonna keep this going. No, his seed looks different. He plants the corn. He looks for what would plant well, what he can till the ground and he can plant and have a plant that produces crops. So a farmer plants seeds that produces crops. It's not going to look like the oaks in the backyard. It's not going to look like the grass. It's going to look different. Does our seed look different in this world? And I think of even when you're going and the sun is setting on the road and you're driving, those trees, they kind of block out the sun. They make it start making it dark. That we live in a dark world, but we've seen a great light. Are we letting that light shine? That our message, that seed, we live in a world that is a world of lies, that you're wondering what in the world is truth. Are our lives showing that purity, that truth, that authenticity? That our seed must be otherworldly. It must be from our Heavenly Father. It doesn't look like this world. It is a seed of God's grace, His truth, His salvation. That we need to be ready with that seed. We need to be ready to sow it whenever that opportunity comes. Colossians 4 says, our conversation must be full of grace, It must be seasoned with salt so that we are ready in every opportunity. So a farmer is dedicated to his crop. He works hard. He tills the ground. He fertilizes it, and he watches. Have you ever, I guess it came more into focus for us. We planted our first, like, legitimate garden. At least I would call it legitimate here. And we're looking for the right times and the seasons that the frost is done, that you can go and you can plant. That a farmer, you don't want to plant too early and you don't want to plant too late because you want to have that crop, as the word was saying, 30 or 60 or even 100 times, that you want that great harvest. So you watch with urgency about when is that time to plant. And when that opportunity comes, you plant the seed. So you are God's farmer. I am God's farmer. Are we dedicated to the people that we are invested in? Are we wanting to see people grow? Pray that God would open doors, that that seed of salvation would plant and grow. Pray for insight. Pray for wisdom. Pray for that urgency of being able to see that opportunity when that opportunity comes. Till the ground. Be intentional. Cultivate relationships with others. Be intentional and open opportunities to be able to plant that seed. So a farmer plants his seed, and wherever he has his plot of land, he spreads the seed. He doesn't just say, well, this is a good spot, and put a couple seeds right there. He sows, and I think of when in your yard, if you fertilize, if you weed and feed, that kind of stuff, put lime down, you're pushing this spreader, and you want everything to be touched. You know, there might be some that lands on the sidewalk on your backyard. That's fine. You don't pick it up. You don't pick up that stuff. You want to make sure that all of that grass gets hit. So we need to do, we need to spread generously God's word, God's seed, that we need to spread everywhere how good and great is our God. That, you know, if it lands, if our grace testimony lands on a hard heart, that's fine. You know, don't fret about it. The amazing thing is God works in hard hearts. He can change that heart. So no matter how hard, plant seeds of generosity. Plant seeds of blessing. Plant seeds whenever you see that, whether word and deed. Plant. Sow generously. Spread and scatter. So a farmer is made for this. A farmer farms. Picture this, though, as God's farmer. You don't have a limited amount of seed. You don't say, I have this much. I've got to plant this much of land. God gives us an unlimited amount of seeds that we have as gospel message. We have those grace testimonies. We have those things even of the beauty of this world. When I see that sunset, as that book said, that we can point to God, that he is all around us. We don't have a limited amount of, oh, should I give it to this person or not, that he wants all people, that God loves the whole world. Would we do that? Would we take that unlimited seed and be tangible blessings? So a farmer knows his land. He knows the good spots and he knows the bad spots that he needs to fertilize extra, get some more topsoil to build up. A farmer is made to help things grow, to water, to ward off pests, to get that good seed that can withstand whatever comes its way. So you are God's farmer. That he has given you that circle. He has given you that field. You know that spots. Get to know the people around you. Get to know your friends and families and be able to till that relationship, to dig deep, to cultivate. That means that you have to engage with them. That means you have to invest in them and give. That means that you need to know their joys and their sorrows, their hurts and their pains, and to be able to lift them up, to serve them, and to bring them to Jesus in those moments. That you are called to reach out. You are called to bless, to give and invest. That these people are your land. These are your people. So you are God's farmer. Will you farm? Will you reach out to the people that are around us? Those people, that circle of accountability, those circle of unbelievers, that is your plot of land. So and so generously. So how much seed will you scatter? And are you willing to live a life compelled to spread God's seed everywhere for him? Will you be this farmer? Will you spread the seeds of the gospel? Will you be present in people's lives? Will you be ready for those conversations to sprinkle in a little bit of salt, that God's life and God's changing in your heart would be evident? And are you ready to proclaim in his name? So that's the challenge. You are God's farmer. Will you farm? So we're going to take about 5 minutes. And I just want you to reflect on this. God, what are you speaking to me? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to know about you, God? About me? About the others that you've placed around me? What are you speaking to me? So we'll take 5 minutes, and if you have something of concern or if you want help, there will be pastors and elders around that they are there, not to pray for you, but to pray with you, to stand with you on those things. Do you have challenges, concerns, or do you have a neighbor that you just really are passionate, right? That person popped up in your mind, or maybe it's more than one. Go see an elder or a pastor, and we can pray with you together. So let's take about 5 minutes. God, what do you want to know about you, about me, and about the people around me?